Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I start giving on that level so that God would owe me.
Whatever you do right now, don't you stop tithing.
Harvest responds only to seed, not to prayer.
This is not about material wealth. This is about God in His providence orchestrating all of history in order to bring about that which we need more than anything else, and that is to be rescued from God.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel. It's the Wretched Radio Mail Call Delivery Bag Q&A Infotainment Nationwide Extravaganza, featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Oh! A special message for all the kids watching at home.
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
It is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
Amen to that.
What are you doing? Why are you talking over the...
I'm sorry, what?
Why are you talking over the intro to Mailbag?
All right. Is this on?
It is.
Oh, that's so awkward. I was just sitting here reading Go Serve Your King by Todd Frielius, and I've just been finding it so engrossing that I lost track of time. And here we are. Oh, I'm so embarrassed. This is Wretched Radio. Well, as long as I brought it up, would you kindly consider checking out my new book? It's called Go Serve Your King, The Key to Extraordinary Purpose in Everyday Life. Perhaps chapter 5 might resonate with you. It's titled King of Your Daily Routine, and it quotes a Bible verse, 1 Corinthians 7:17. Only let each person, so that's you and me, lead the life the Lord has assigned to him, and to which God has called him. This is my rule in all of the churches. The implications of that are so huge, especially if you feel like, I only do secular work. I'm just a student. Therefore, I'm not doing sacred things. That verse really should just put a stake into the heart of that thought. Because Paul is telling everybody, you're where you're at because this is where God has called you. Are you an accountant? He called you to be an accountant. Are you a dentist? He called you to be a dentist. Are you a stay-at-home mom? He called you to do it. Are you a student? He's called you to that. You don't need to be called to ministry to have a calling. Because where you are at is your calling. Therefore, where you are at is your ministry. That's right. You have a ministry. No, I can't. I don't work at the church. You didn't hear what Paul just said. You are called by God where you are at. And that is normative for most. Now, if he calls you into ministry, that's your calling. But that is no greater of a calling than your calling to be a garbage man. You are called by God where you are. And therefore, what you are doing is your calling. Therefore, what you put your hands to is sacred work. Let me share this from the book. You finish your morning Bible reading, prayer, and coffee. Hopefully without taking a selfie and posting about your amazing quiet time on social media. And then you get about the business of the day. During those hours, when you're not doing devotions, it is easy to wonder, how do I glorify God if I'm not praying or in His Word or actively thinking about Him? What does Jesus have to do with washing the dishes, getting stuck in traffic, changing a diaper, or buying a soda at the vending machine? Well, the answer is everything. He has everything to do with that. To be clear, I'm not suggesting you abandon the spiritual disciplines, but I hope to help you see that Jesus is involved in every second of your day, including the rather routine elements of your life. Theologians describe God as both transcendent and immanent. That means He's outside His creation, upholding the universe by the word of His power. That's transcendence, but He is also present with His creation. Moreover, He's engaged in the minutiae of your life. That's immanence. So God controls trillions of galaxies while also knowing exactly with where hair number 812 is on top of your head, assuming you have 812 hairs up there. We see these two attributes of God displayed in Psalm 139. This is King David. Oh Lord, You've searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand me, my thought from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there was a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. That is your cure to what most Christians suffer from. And that is dualistic thinking, dualistic existing. You do spiritual things in the morning, maybe before you pray or before you eat, you pray. And you maybe go to church. That's spiritual. And it is. But so is the rest of your life. There's no distinction in God's economy because he's involved in all of it and you are in Christ. Therefore, everything you do is spiritual. Once you grasp that Jesus is in the details of your daily grind, the apparent chasm between life and faith begins to shrink. Not only is Jesus involved in the minutiae of your life, but he is also seeking to do something for you in every waking and sleeping second of the day. And that should also cause us to respond like King David did. How precious are your thoughts to me, O God? When you recognize how King Jesus is fastidiously engaged in every aspect of your life, you will realize you are already living the 24/7 Christian life. The world will no longer seem divided between the sacred and the secular. All of life will look enchanted. And then the chapter goes on to talk about what that looks like at work, rest and recreation, relationships, how you spend your money, clothing, everything. If that sounds intriguing to you, go serve your king. It is available now for pre-sale at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Walmart, Target, Books a Million, wherever you find books, you will be able to find Go Serve Your King, the key to extraordinary purpose in everyday life. Now let's get to the mailbag, shall we? You can send emails to idea at what?
No, we're not finished.
Really?
We've got to go to fortisinstitute.org/king if you buy it before November the 15th and send in your proof of purchase because you get a book plate.
I just... How many calories did that effort to sound cheery take out of you?
I don't know.
It sounded exhausting, frankly. idea@wretched.org or text away 877-282-2337.
Hey, this is from Amanda. Todd, I'm struggling with what to do with my mother-in-law. She's an ordained Anglican deaconess, which in her particular church means she often preaches on Sundays and was even recruited by her church to start up a church in a small town which she pastored for 2 years. She also votes Democrat, and my husband has talked multiple times with her to beg her to reconsider the evils of that political party, like abortion, LGBTQ issues, etc., in light of Scripture. She says she doesn't agree with those things, but there are bigger world issues that she does agree with. She seems to be getting more liberal, and we are concerned. So with all of that said, are we as Christians obligated to continue bringing up issues of concern even though nothing gets resolved? Or should we stay away from topics of disagreement because she does get upset when she's disagreed with and just pray that she repents?
It's up to you. Wisdom is your guide. There isn't, if you've shared it 3 times with that subject and 2 times with that, you need to share it 1 more time. Because once you get to 3, then all bets are off. You don't have to share it with them anymore. There's just no guiding principle like that in the Bible. 1 time, 10 times, it could be anything in between. It totally is up to you. It depends on your relationship, the dynamic, your patience. If you see that it is advancing things or just actually making things worse. So you need wisdom on that, and you can help each other with that. You can also engage others who perhaps know her also to talk about what they think would be a wise way to use your words. Now, then there's another strategy that could even be employed. I can actually think of a couple of strategies, starting with that you drop it altogether. I'm just saying this is a strategy for you to consider, that wisdom needs to be considered. You could stop talking about all these issues and just work on having a great relationship with her. Maybe, just maybe, that will lead her to be asking questions. Maybe it'll even lead her to go, so how come you don't bring that stuff up anymore? Well, we love you. We didn't want it to ruin our relationship, and it would seem to be more detrimental than helpful. And if she chooses to engage, you can. There's another approach. abandon the conversations about life and women in the life issue, women in the pulpit, whatever she happens to be affirming, and witness to her, share the gospel with her. It sounds like she's somebody who could be very lost. Now, she could be straying, she could be confused, she could be ignorant, but it sounds like she could be lost. Spend your capital and your energy on focusing on convicting her conscience, helping her see her need for a savior. That'll fix everything. Seriously, it fixes everything. Worldview just changes. You just immediately start thinking better because God starts rewiring you instantaneously. And so I think that you need to determine which is best for your relationship, the dynamic. And do you ever get to stop? Well, sure, you can. I don't think you need to feel guilty about it. I mean, if you've shared it one time, that's enough times. Because there isn't a Bible verse that says, no, you have to share it seven times. Then you're off the hook and you have no more responsibility. So apply wisdom. Always in all of these conversations, as hard as it is, let love motivate them. Whatever it is that you're talking about, would I personally spend a whole lot of capital dealing with her activities in the church? Probably not. I'd be more inclined to evangelize her, but whatever it is that you choose, do it lovingly. This is Wretched Radio.
As a Christian, at some point, you're going to be in a conversation about abortion. Maybe it's at work, maybe it's at Thanksgiving dinner, or maybe even with your own kids. And when that moment comes, you're either going to be ready for the conversation or you're not. Life is Best gets you ready. It's hosted by Scott Klusendorf, one of, if not the sharpest pro-life apologists in the world. Life is Best, all 13 episodes streaming now on Fortis Plus for free. Download the app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to FortisPlus.org. You know those really big questions you get when your kid comes home from college? You know the ones about whether God exists, if the Bible can be trusted, why there's evil in the world, or what's wrong with everyone else's view on sexuality? Yeah, those. Road Trip to Truth doesn't dodge them. This resource is hosted by John Ferbarez, and it goes straight to college campuses and talks to students who are asking these very same questions. All four seasons available right now on Fortis Plus for free. FortisPlus.org.
Would you like the university experience without the, university experience? The Masters University invites you to visit their campus, or you can visit them online at masters.edu/wretched. It's Masters University, the university with the university experience without the university experience. masters.edu/wretched.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. If you're a man, you're trying to figure out what it actually means to be one. Scripture is not confused. God has a lot to say about what it means to be a man, and Dr. Adam Tyson unpacks that every week on Way of Manhood. If you've ever been impacted by this ministry, would you prayerfully consider becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner today? All you have to do is go to FortisInstitute.org right now to find out what it would look like in your life to do just that. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. History is full of kings, and every single one of those kings, well, they're gone now. One king continues to reign, and Exalt the King with Todd Friel is a weekly podcast about that very king. Todd is the pastor of Alpharetta Bible Church, and every single week, he takes a passage of scripture and he preaches it until you can see Jesus in all of his beauty and glory. There's a new episode every week wherever you listen to podcasts or on FortisPlus.org. A good majority of us are running two lives. There's the one where you pray and you read your Bible and you go to church, but there's also another life, the one where you go to work and do what you've got to do to cover the bills. And Todd Friel, well, he doesn't believe that God ever meant for these to be two different lives. His new book is called Go Serve Your King. You can pre-order Go Serve Your King right now at FortisInstitute.org/king. And if you order by November 15th, Todd will mail you a signed book plate for your copy. The book comes out December the 1st.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the firstborn.
Jesus was the firstborn from death, resurrected that we may have life. And he is the firstborn over all creation, the preeminent Son, through whom we are adopted as sons and daughters of God the Father.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Perfect. This is absolutely perfect. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, you said there's another approach for the family writing in to say, Mom, was it mother-in-law?
Mother-in-law, yes.
Yeah, is an Anglican deaconess. She's preaching. She's starting a church. She's becoming very progressive and liberal. Well, you already said that when you said she was an Anglican. What should we do? I mentioned a number of approaches, but Jimmy, you said you had another one. Please share it in great detail because I'm almost finished with this chapter of Go Serve Your King.
Yeah, so there is another approach is every time she brings something up, just tell her she's wrong and then write a blog about her on the internet for everyone to see it. That's what I would do personally. Yeah, you're
keep going. I'm almost done. Like two more paragraphs. If you could just keep going with that. Yeah, that's an option.
What I was saying.
That's more of a trend these days.
That's another approach. I didn't say it was the right approach.
That's what we do, isn't it? You just gotta hack each other to shreds, and you gotta do it publicly. It's amazing what people put out on the internet about loved ones. It's a mindset I don't get. I mean, I see it. I get it from that perspective because I think it's reality. But I mean, I just don't know how somebody would even think that this is wise. They want to say something snarky about their spouse. They post it on Facebook. What? It seems to be the thinking is, well, that's just like, that's where we do those things. And it's not inappropriate to do it there because it's my Facebook page. I don't have a Facebook page, so I don't even know what that feels like, but it must feel like I've got permission and liberty. This is like the kitchen table. We can say anything we want to here. I don't get it, but wow, how many relationships and families has it wrecked? Not to mention when you think about all of the cyberbullying, I think that's a real thing. It is. Bullying is real in school. It's true. You were probably bullied. If you weren't, you probably were the bully. It happens on social media all the time because people just think that they have license to be nasty. So if your mother-in-law's bugging you, just blog about her. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Sam, a text. Todd, my husband and I have two little boys, a toddler and a baby. We want to raise them to be godly men, but I don't know where to start. How do we stop doing just behavior modification and work on the heart? What sort of home Bible study for that age would you recommend?
You know, I'm not going to recommend any. Not going to recommend any. There, I mean, I could, but let me focus on something perhaps that might be something you haven't perhaps considered. Rather than just focusing on education, and you do want to do that, the time to have kids memorizing Bible verses is at a young age. Have them memorizing catechism. We're starting this Sunday. The kids that come to Alpharetta Bible Church, they are in for some Bible verses, and they're in for some memorizing of questions because they can handle it at that age. It's so much easier at that age. And by the way, this has been such a blessing. A funny thing has happened at Alpharetta Bible Church. We are getting so many young families that are showing up with like 3-4 kids. It's lovely. I love, just delight in it. We're in the lobby the other day. I'm not going to say Corey's name, but he came up to me and he said, have you noticed that there's so many young families with kids? Yeah, I've noticed. And he said, we've been praying for that for Alpharetta Bible Church, that the Lord would send more young families with young kids, perhaps selfishly because they want their little boy to have more playmates. I don't think that's a sinful prayer by any means. And I thought to myself, this guy and his wife prayed those families there. Prayed them there. Because clearly God answered that prayer in the affirmative, didn't he? Because there they are. And then it got me to thinking about the families that are actually there and what it feels like to know that you are actually the answer to somebody's prayers. These families that are now attending, they are there because that family prayed that they would be there and God answered that prayer. How cool is that? I mean, just that's the sort of energizing, encouraging word that you will only get at church that strengthens and encourages you, and it allows you, hey, I'm seeing the Lord working. He's actually active. He actually answers my prayers. That's a beautiful thing. So we're seeing lots of kids coming, and we're going to start catechizing them this Sunday. So buckle up, kids. And I would encourage you to do that at home, but I don't think that should be the totality. Should you do devotions? Sure. Should you read the Bible? Absolutely. Those are things that you should be doing. But I think that there's something equally or perhaps more potent that will help your kids become believers and become godly young men. Here it is. Modeling. Model the Christian faith. Show them it is real. Show them by your words, your actions, sometimes your lack of words. Show them you actually believe your confession. That is so powerful. It's so organic. And it's almost like the book that everything is about Jesus, everything. So let that permeate what your interactions are with your kids. When you're taking your kids to practice, whatever it happens to be, how could that be something that even you don't have to preach to them? You don't have to tell them to open their Bibles while you're driving them to softball practice, but that they see, my mom loves Jesus. How could they see that in your response when they've biffed it again, when they didn't clean their room? How can you show them Jesus in those moments? How's about this? When you sin, how's about when you blow it? And it does happen, mom and dad. We do sin against our children. Do they see somebody who is convicted of their sin and eager to repent and receive forgiveness? That's organic Christianity. And I think that is about the most powerful thing you can do with the kids. Of course, you can just sit and read the Bible to them every waking moment. You can do that. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. But they will, when they see a credible testimony that Jesus Christ died for sinners and we have an amazing Savior, you're showing Jesus to be attractive. You're showing Jesus to be real. And I'll tell you, that'll preach as much as 10 sermons. So my encouragement to you is, yeah, do all this stuff. Get devotionals, get kids to go online. You'll find plenty of stuff. Get the stuff, by the way, that works for your family. Don't smash it in. And if you order like 3 things off of Amazon and 2 of them don't work, well, give them to another family and see if they work for them. Do the stuff that works where the kids aren't, you know, yeah, I hate that. And, you know, sometimes you got to just squelch that and deal with that. But my point is, find stuff that actually fits for your family. And then make sure you're just mindful every day. Start your day. Lord, help me to show you to be amazing today to my children. And act it out. Don't yell at them. Don't yell at them. Be patient with them. Instruct them. Don't condescend to them. Don't treat them like they're gum on the bottom of your shoe. Honor them. Respect them. I'm telling you, you make that the discipline and the habit of your parenting life. Oh, you will have far fewer things to be remorseful over when the kids leave the nest. Jamie, you got anything else to add to that?
No, I think you pretty much said everything that I would have said.
All righty. 877-282-2337.
Now, this is a text from Alex. Todd was listening to what you said recently about expository preaching. In your opinion, is there no place for topical preaching? That's Topical Todd you're talking to. My pastor preaches expository on Sunday, but during the week, I do enjoy listening to topical preaching for targeted growth. Is that wrong?
No. No, it's not. It's not wrong. Now, if you're talking about the daily diet from a pulpit, I would say, yes, that isn't ideal. Okay, I softened that a little bit. I think just we don't have a Bible verse that says you need to preach line by line, verse by verse. And I would have a very difficult time making a historical case for that because the Reformers, most of them didn't go line by line, verse by verse. They picked what they wanted that week for the sake of the congregation. Now, that doesn't mean the work that they did on the text wasn't expository. They just weren't following a book as the order of their preaching. So I can't say it's a sin to do that. But even a topical sermon, I believe, should be expositional. Otherwise, it's still toothless. You got to have Bible behind it. So if you're listening to that sort of stuff, if you're preaching that sort of stuff, I say rock on, be fed by that. In fact, sometimes it's good to just kind of alter your diet a little bit, because they're the other side where it's mere didactics, that does something to you also. So what am I basically saying? Watch your diet. Be balanced in the sermons that you consume. And if I could just do a side note, a little bit tangential, but nevertheless, if you are regularly struggling with a lack of assurance or a lack of joy, take a look at your diet. Are you just consuming like sharp, 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 just nothing but expositional fact, 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 do this, do that, and you've got to be like this, and we've got to be like, watch your diet. Because your spiritual mood is probably an indicator of the diet of sermons that you are consuming. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.